Today on Seculo, disgraced FBI agent Peter Strzok calls January 6th worse than 9/11. We'll talk about that today on Seculo.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo.
But when you look at something that is an attack on democracy, something that could actually bring about a fundamental change to American governance as we understand it, 9/11 is nothing compared to January 6th.
We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110.
And the fact that the FBI and the rest of the government, if they are not on the same sort of war footing that we were on in the weeks and months and years after 9/11, shame on everyone.
And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Okay, that's Peter Strzok, disgraced FBI agent, fired by the FBI for his politics. Of course, these text messages back and forth. We'll have a backup plan, you know, and we'll get Trump. And
we're going to stop it.
Yeah, we'll stop Trump from being elected. So he's no longer at the FBI, but he's now an MSNBC guy.
Of course,
CNN
when you're a disgraced FBI agent, where else could you go?
You go to MSNBC.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he's still a hero to them. I want to play this in full context for you one more time. It's pretty shocking to hear it the first time. So this is Peter Strzok yesterday on MSNBC. Take a listen.
But when you look at something that is an attack on democracy, something that could actually bring about a fundamental change to American governance as we understand it, 9/11 is nothing compared to January 6th. And the fact that the FBI and the rest of the government, if they are not on the same sort of war footing that we were on in the weeks and months and years after 9/11, shame on everyone.
All right, I want to take your calls on this 1-800-684-3110. This shows you where the Democrats are, where the law enforcement is, too, federal law enforcement is as well, the politics at play. Think about the statement he just made. I think you have to break it down in multiple parts. First part, Logan, is that just the basic part, the most shocking part of it, was that 9/11 is nothing compared to January 6th.
Yeah.
Nearly 3,000 Americans died on 9/11. Two wars were started after 9/11. Yeah, Iraq and Afghanistan, many more Americans than died in those wars. And we just left Afghanistan. It was a horrendous leaving Afghanistan. We'll get to that later in the broadcast because Karine Jean-Pierre is saying, oh, it was great, we're getting Americans out. But that's the first part about this statement is one person died on January 6th, and it was a protester who was shot by a police officer.
Yeah, I mean, look, you don't have to be an apologist for one to denounce another. I mean, I don't understand even why this is coming up in conversation, why January 6th and 9/11 have to even
they want to demonize all
world.
Of us right. as somehow a threat to the United States that is equivalent or worse. He's actually saying worse than the Taliban and Al-Qaeda and ISIS.
Yeah, and I wouldn't even associate.
So we're Islamic terrorists.
Yeah, what about we?
I mean, that's what he's saying. People who support MAGA. I mean, that he gets broader than the people who are actually there on January 6th. It's anybody behind Trump is a threat to our national security, not equivalent even, but worse so than the 9/11 hijackers and the terrorists from Al-Qaeda or an Islamic terrorist. This is how they view American citizens, not foreign nationals, American citizens who, yes, they have broken the law, and that's fine. You can break the law in America. That does not mean that everybody who's a Republican or everybody who supports Donald Trump or everybody who supports Make America Great Again is a violent threat. Now, you know who it is a threat to, though? Peter Strzok. He lost his job over this.
Yeah.
So he's bitter. But to compare something where nearly 3,000 Americans died, not just in New York, but, of course, in Pennsylvania, the Pentagon, and the wars that followed. Let's not forget those. So you can really add up all of the casualties there. This, to me, is just sickening. And I want to take phone calls on it, 1-800-684-3110. And I wish that every single Democrat and all those members of the January 6th, that bogus committee, got questioned about this. You agree with Peter Strzok? Because Lord knows you spent a lot of time on January 6th and not a lot of time on fixing our economy, getting America energy independent, and dealing with reality. You know, we're just a few weeks out from the elections, folks. It's election day now in state. People are voting as we speak. This needs to be front and center. You want these people running your law enforcement? And by the way, thanks, John Durham. Great job there with all your resources. So don't rely on them either. Rely on ourselves. Put good people in office. That's the way we're going to change this. Give us a call. Be part of the show. Share it with your friends and family. 1-800-684-3110 to join us. I want you to share this with your friends and family. You know, a few weeks out from Election Day, while people are already voting, this is what they need to know. A lot today. We're going to get into Pelosi denying that the economy matters to voters. Gaslighting Americans. This idea, Stacey Abrams, abortion is about you know, gas prices. And that every woman is really, you know, the gas prices, and they just got to kill their child, and then they wouldn't worry about inflation. Which, by the way, I mean, there's a lot of people who don't have kids, or kids are grown up, who still have to, like, drive to work, and abortion doesn't affect them at all, either way. But this is the insanity coming out of the Democrats. This is what happens when they start flailing. Biden's getting worse and worse on stage. We're going to play that, I mean, later. It's hard to even play on a radio broadcast, because the man should not be on stage anymore. Then there was a story that Jill Biden has supposedly stepped in a couple times to say, you know, you got to give him tighter cues, get him off the stage, because he'll stay on the stage and come back to the microphone.
Yeah, twice. That's what happened yesterday during his
Roe versus Wade rally, which is so out of touch to have a 80-year-old man with pink Roe versus Wade. I love, by the way, we're not supposed to talk, you know, gender things. We don't pink and blue, but the Roe rally was pink and purple.
Yep. Well, in that speech, we decided actually not to play it because it is impossible
it's
to listen
to. It's too hard to do on radio.
Is it went from him ending it saying, God bless America, God bless our troops, I'm sorry. He said, thank you, I'm sorry. And then they started playing Your Love Is Lifting Me Higher, like really loud. You know, like in Ghostbusters 2, you have the Statue of Liberty walking out.
Gay marriage.
And then he just stops and he's like silent. And then he's like, brings them back down. I'm sorry, I don't like I don't like to talk to people that are behind me. I hate that there are people behind me. I apologize to the people behind me.
We have a little bit of it.
It was so bizarre. I'm sure we have some of it. I guess we could play. It is music for a lot of it.
It takes some time. We're going to get back to Peter Strzok and take your calls that, because Peter Strzok said more. But since we brought up Biden, we got 30 seconds. We're here. You're kind of getting a taste of a Secular Brothers podcast with a little more anger. I'd say that's what it is, because you know, we start out
it's like
the
mid-morning
day.
Secular Brothers.
Yeah, we got to get, yeah. Yeah, there's things we got to say.
Then we go do the show and it's a little sillier. So, all right, yeah, let's, should we play?
Check it out by 43.
We are the United States of America, and there's nothing beyond our capacity. So vote, vote, vote. God bless you all, and may God protect our troops. Thank you. I'm sorry. Apologizing for my back. My mother would be very angry. I was talking with people with my back to them.
I mean, this is very normal for politicians to have a crowd behind them.
Yeah, it's just he's done it thousands of times, I would assume.
I felt like it was the end of Ghostbusters 2.
It did, yeah. Everyone
or the
cheering.
Dancing. Was that the dancing?
No, well, both. Because the pink slime loves Jackie
that
Wilson.
Song.
Yeah, that's just a part of it. So.
I mean, that's how I know it. But that's their Roe versus Wade. I want to get back to Peter Strzok, though, because this is the second part. Well, I think this actually, listen, it's absurd to say that 9/11 was nothing compared to January 6th, okay, because the amount of death.
9/11 was nothing, was cannot be it. Compared to anything.
Yeah, it changed our entire makeup. It for generations, went to war. They went to war in Afghanistan. They went to war in Iraq. We were still dealing with, by the way, under the Trump administration, ISIS. This was all from Islamic terrorism at an extreme level. Yes, there was the attack on the USS Cole and the attacks happening on U.S. sites overseas, but they took Islamic terrorism and brought it right to our most important city, really, economically in the country, New York, the symbol of freedom and liberty. You know, and to see those two towers fall, if you lived through that, it changed everything. January 6th. 5 years from now, I don't know that it changed anything for me. It was a few thousand like bad actors. Yeah. They didn't kill anybody. The person who got killed was a protester. They did break the law. It was bad to storm the Capitol. I don't like breaking down the window. It's not good. But again, a lot of it too is it was very confused and who was actually responsible, who were the really, really bad versus just the kind of stupid actors that were there who went along with the crowd.
There are a lot of,
again,
we don't.
It ain't 9/11.
We don't defend it, but it was a protest that went awry.
Yes.
Opposed to a terrorist attack.
When you have big crowds,
stuff happens.
Yes.
I mean, I've been to plenty of events where things just where chaos ensues and breaks out. Riots ensue where things just happen, where you are in the middle of a crowd and you don't know what's happening and you're not necessarily involved in it. And again, this is not to defend anything that happened to January 6th. What this is to say, how about we just, it's like the Holocaust. We just don't compare 9/11 to really anything. Like it shouldn't even be in your lexicon. And to say that this is more damaging to our country is wild.
Yeah, I want to play it one more time because I want you to hear the second part. This is actually the part that should make you the most concerned and why we cannot let these people continue to have power. He doesn't anymore technically inside the FBI, but he's a Democrat star now. So they listen to people like Peter Strzok. Take a listen again. Listen to the second part.
But when you look at something that is an attack on democracy, something that could actually bring about a fundamental change to American governance as we understand it, 9/11 is nothing compared to January 6th. And the fact that the FBI and the rest of the government, if they are not on the same sort of war footing that we were on in the weeks and months and years after 9/11, shame on everyone.
So he wants the FBI and the military to be on the same kind of war footing that they were on against Islamic radical terrorism against Americans. Because who are the actors here? Not foreign nationals that you can use the Patriot Act on. Well, they do use FISA courts. They did use FISA courts to go after Americans because they said they're foreign agents. I mean, ask Carter Page about that. Trying to ruin people's lives. And this idea that we are going to make enemies, literal, actual enemies, enemies that you're going to war with. And he's not talking about war politically. He's talking about war footing like you kill those enemies. You have to eradicate. That's what we had to do with Islamic terrorist leaders. We had to eradicate ISIS. Yeah. We had to eradicate Al-Qaeda. And we didn't stop by just saying, oh, they ran back to the caves. We kept going until we killed them. That is what he is saying we need to do to Americans that he disagrees with politically. This is disgusting. This is the worst of the Democrats, but this is what they are telling people is that we are that kind of level of enemy to their perfect country. And these guys are in charge and were in charge of the highest levels of our federal law enforcement. They had a lot of power to try and take down and ruin your life. Thank God he's out. But we now know from FBI whistleblowers, let's go through the list, as we have, that the FBI was weaponized to go after conservatives. Whistleblowers have told that to Jim Jordan. They pumped up the domestic violent extremism numbers, which were all the same people that got arrested on January 6th. But because they arrested them in different states, they say, oh, this state's got a problem with domestic violent extremism. But it was just a person who went to that, and again, broke the law. We're not defending that action. But to put that on par with 9/11, he should not be on TV anymore. He should lose his MSNBC job.
Yeah,
people and all those people that were in New York that day, it's just how quickly they forget and will just use it for politics. I think to use 9/11 for politics is disgusting.
Yeah, and it does come up a lot. It does because it is that sort of benchmark.
It's fine because it was such a benchmark.
Right. But even the last time around, we thought that, well, and this is the problem when you get 20 plus years out away from something, you start to trivialize it. It starts, as you said, becoming a talking point, becoming a political talking point. And people, there are plenty of voters, an entire generation of voters now, who are not alive when 9/11 happened. So for them, they may see images of people running, and then they see images of the January 6th riots and say, oh, we could put those two together.
Yeah, exactly. People were jumping out of 100-floor buildings,
of course,
because they were on fire, because the heat was so strong. Let's not forget, okay? Never forget what happened that day. January 6th, it's just ridiculous to compare. We're a strong country. We can survive 9/11. You can certainly survive January 6th. That should have been a blip.
Yeah.
9/11 was not because of what followed. We gave up a lot of civil liberties after 9/11. We said, you know what? We got to give up some of our rights. And that's part of what our founders said. There are times through our Constitution where you have to balance your liberty interest and your security interest. And that's they're always in conflict.
Yeah. Maybe they should have been sunset at some point, but that's a different
conversation. This is the case. These guys were using the laws from 9/11 to go after Americans. And like school board, remember the whole thing with school boards? That was the FBI treating moms like terrorists, saying that we need to bring federal charges. The Tea Party, when we represented them, Lois Lerner wrote to the FBI, we need to figure out how to bring federal criminal charges against one of these Tea Party groups, and that will shut them all down.
Yeah, and you know that if this Tea Party movement had happened right now in a post-Trump world, I mean, it would have been just...
We were outside the Capitol all the time at these rallies.
Yeah, downtown.
With Steve Bannon.
And kind of fun.
A lot of the people that are names that you... that have become, you know, normal Washington names. Ted Cruz, Mike Lee out in Utah. By the way, support Mike Lee. If you're not a Utah voter and you can help him any way you can, go to his website, support. We can't lose Mike Lee in Washington, D.C. He was there with us on stage at those Tea Party events. Ted Cruz was there with us on stage. Bannon on stage. You know, these were people, Rand Paul on stage with us, not afraid to join up with the grassroots Americans. And you see, it's taken us of what we've gotten a long way. We've won a lot of things, but we have to double down. We have got to get rid of Nancy Pelosi. We got to get rid of Chuck Schumer. We got to put some kind of just away. We got to investigate. We need the Senate. We need the House. That's critical to you, folks. We're going to take your phone calls when we come back. 1-800-684-3110. Support the work of the ACLJ. Donate if you can at aclj.org. I'm going to take the calls on Strzok first, and then I'm going to get to some sound Nancy Pelosi, because this is the more insanity. These people do not live in reality. So whether they want to go to war with us, they're talking about war. They're saying they need to be, Peter Strzok, we need to be the same war footing. What, are they going to throw us in black sites and waterboard us? Are we going to, use the Patriot Act to come after all of us? They would love to. But we have a protection against that. That's called elections, and that's turning out the vote en masse. I know a lot of you are concerned about election integrity, but you still have to vote. If you don't vote, we have no chance. And when you get to these days where people are actually starting to vote, you know, polls, they're important, and of course some races like Mike Lee's, they pop up and you say, okay, we got to put some resources there. We got to keep Mike Lee in the U.S. Senate. But if you don't show up to vote, they win. They will make sure they get the votes out. I guarantee it. They are spending millions and millions of dollars to get the vote out. Listen, let me go to the phones first. Let's go to Jerry first in Rhode Island online too. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, Jordan. And I'm going to miss Matt. It's a priceless that after what we know that Strzok has done for the last several years for the regular listeners, priceless that he's talking about this, considering how much was he involved in false FISA warrants. Priceless. A guy like that could have had that much power for that long, and I'm retired law enforcement. It scares me.
Yes, it's so wrong that he's that political, that he wants to take half the country who voted for Donald Trump, about 50%, and they're still pretty fired up. Half the country still, basically Republican, and go to war with them. Literal, he's talking about actual war. He said we need to be on the war footing that we were on post 9/11 against fellow Americans.
Yeah, this is kind of the social media language that would get you kicked off, for inciting violence and for those kind of things. But of course, no, because
he's
coming from MSNBC. We know the threat can't be taken seriously. This is just some hyperbole he's throwing out there. But again, it's calculated, too. What I don't like is that it wasn't offhanded 9/11, kind of thrown out there. This is clearly something he meant to say. He knew it'd get news. He knew we'd be fired up. We'd be talking about it. And what they hope also is to people to play into that bait and to react. And not necessarily react like we are, commentating, but react because they desperately want another event to happen. They need another chaotic
violent extremism
because it plays into their narrative. Yes.
And they didn't get it. The people didn't keep up. You know, January 6th happened. Did you see a lot of other no, it really calmed down. People said, like, okay, this got out of control. We're not going to win over independent voters by rioting. Okay, that's not going to help win any elections. So people take a step back, and you didn't have a bunch of constant mini, but they said, how do we create them? Oh, a parent who's mad about their schools being shut down for 2 years. We're going to use them as the domestic violent extremism because they raise their voice. I love that too. These guys, and this is our top law enforcement guys, so wussy. Raise your voice. Oh! Yeah, I mean, that's the cry.
Yeah.
This parent is too loud at this meeting. They're actually screaming at their elected official, which you have a God-given right to do here in the United States of America. You really do.
Yeah. I mean, it's freedom of speech. You can say what you want, so that stuff happens.
They hate freedom of speech, though. That's another thing. The entire idea, so I watched Tucker Carlson's show, he did 30 minutes on just them attacking our First Amendment, all these people on MSNBC going on and saying, well, the problem is we have a First Amendment in our country.
The problem.
The problem. You know, this is what we can make them the minority again. We need to make them the weirdos that they used to be. And well, you do that by election. You can isolate them if you win elections. You start saying, this is not normal. I don't care what side of the political aisle you're on.
Yeah.
You need to be the outlier, not the norm in America.
But even if they are, it's difficult because the media
makes them out like they're normal.
Right, and that's the problem. It becomes normalized. It's the same thing that's happening with all content across the board. We know that there is a large conservative group of people that want to watch certain TV shows. We see movies that bomb that are intentionally marketed thinking that America is different than it is.
Yeah.
However, the voices are still the loudest in the room, and the voices of the loudest in the room are the ones that are coming from the media. It's why you have to have alternative media options. You have to have Rumble. You have to have
Twitter.
And you even have to have a YouTube, and though YouTube has definitely hampered people down, it still is a pretty has a pretty good platform for a lot of people. Yes, you have to play by their rules, but really you have Rumble, and you have other social media options. You have other television networks. You have people creating alternative media. I think it's very important. Honestly, it's not even the alternative. It should be the mainstream media. That's what should be the mainstream media. And it's something we're working on here at the ACLJ as well. They're looking at different avenues that we can go into beyond just these broadcasts every day.
Like the Secular Brothers podcast. We do a shout out to that right now.
Yeah, we do a podcast three days a week.
It's not as angry.
It's not as angry. I mean, yesterday
we did this show to get...
I mean, yesterday, though, we talked about
it can be in
the Boston lab, them creating the 80% kill rate COVID. As we talked about that for a good 20 minutes on the show yesterday, pretty hardcore.
Or how about they're thinking about mandating the vaccine putting the vaccine in place for kids to go to school, which is coming out by the CDC.
Yeah, there's a lot of that stuff. We talk about that. We talk about, and it does get a little more lighthearted. I don't say lighthearted. I say casual. It's a much more casual environment.
We don't have a hard clock.
Right, so the show could be 30 minutes, it could be 50 minutes, and it's overall there's usually some positivity to it, there's some comedy to it.
And a lot more about what our personal life.
Yeah, and what's happening in our lives.
You want to know more about our life?
You should find it, secularbrothers.com. You can subscribe. We are available on all your favorite podcast platforms and on YouTube. And it's really easy. Just go to secularbrothers.com. All the links are there. And you can watch the broadcast. You can watch us or you can listen either way. We're part of the Salem Podcast Network. So if you are not familiar with them, go take a look at them. They got a lot of names that you'll know. And we're excited. It's been fun. It's been a month. We've been doing it for around a month. We do it 3 days a week on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, just to make it confusing to say. And again, that's at secularbrothers.com. We just posted an episode yesterday. We'll have a new episode tomorrow.
S-E-K-U-L-O-W brothers.com. So check that out. Let's go to Eduardo in New Hampshire on line one. Hey, Eduardo.
Hey, how are you? Thanks so much for taking my call. Love your show.
Thank you.
I was incensed by the idea of comparing Islamic, extremists to Americans that were, reacting to a lot of, passionate conservative values. And the fact is, it's not okay, like you said, to riot. And I think, unfortunately, we do have to contend with the facts as they were, that we did go overboard, or those that participated.
Yeah, but sure.
I think one
person got killed, and that was a protester. And on 9/11, there were nearly 3,000. I'm not including the people who men and women who serve our country who died in the wars that followed 9/11. And I think, Eduardo, where you're right, to compare Americans, to say we got to treat them the same way we treated Al-Qaeda. Okay. Which, by the way, even some of their treatment was found to be illegal. So it's just these guys came from this time period where I'm glad he's no longer in a position of power, but we know the FBI is full of Peter Strzok. He was just the tip of the iceberg. And do not rely on law enforcement, which we tell you all the time, and we're lawyers, and we say all the time, court is the last resort. And John Durham, what a joke. What just a horrendous, another waste. Mueller, waste of taxpayer resources. Even Durham, at the end of the day, maybe he's able to give some info to Congress, to help the Jim Jordans and the people out, but, not a single conviction. One plea. One slap on the wrist. So don't look for us. We're not going to be defending that. Because a lot of these career people are horrible. Let's just be honest. They don't work in the private sector. They don't, they think they are strong, and then they go to a jury, and a jury says, This doesn't even seem like, why are we here?
Well, that's another quote from Ghostbusters. They don't work. You've never worked in the private sector. They expect results.
Yeah. Well, we do.
We'll be back with 30 more minutes. Just a second.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Back to Seculo. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Pretty pumped up today.
Yeah, 1-800-684-3110. I will say, our longtime phone screener and one of our assistant producers, this is his last day. Matt, you've heard from him for years. So if you're calling right now, 1-800-684-3110, I don't want to say give him a hard time because I don't want him to leave on a bad note. But, you know, today is the day. And then tomorrow, guess what? We have someone less trained to screen out the people who call in and say crazy things. So if you've been waiting to call, wait till tomorrow because who knows? Maybe you'll make it through. But today we got at least
you may have been one of those callers who's called over and over to curse at us.
Just to call and scream and curse.
Yeah.
Yes, those do happen. Yes, I question whether we should even have open phone lines sometimes. But we do because we want your voice heard.
And because it keeps things on your toes.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice to hear, to take the pulse of the American people, if you will, at least from our listeners. Though sometimes we got to be careful because we're on terrestrial radio and sometimes people say horribly offensive profanities. So we have to clear it up. And thankfully, we've had people like Matt who have made sure that that didn't happen as much as he could.
Yeah. I mean, and I think we do a good job of it here. Fred is calling in from New York, online one. Hey, Fred, welcome to Seculo.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
I was just wondering, you know, Peter Strzok is comparing January 6th to 9/11. I wonder why nobody asked him, well, what would you compare the 2020 rioters to then? Because they burned down federal property and, you know, all summer long.
Fred, those were mostly peaceful.
Yeah, mostly peaceful. Fire, fire.
They would be in Chris Cuomo would be out there crying from tear gas.
Yeah.
Who, you know, and Antifa's out there. And most of it was white kids. I'd say a lot of times, too, the protest part would be, you know, the African-American, black community would come out, speak, protest. And then later on, when night fell, it was white kids in bandanas, who, by the way, we didn't go to war footing, like you said, Fred, against them. Have you seen the images? There are cities that I love on the West Coast. My wife is a West Coaster from Los Angeles. You know, Rick Grinnell's out in California. It's beautiful. She also has family in Portland. They just showed the images of the press corps when they were with Biden in Portland, and like at the hotel I would stay at the place we'd walk around, and you know it was an eccentric city. That's fine. It's been taken over by Antifa and drug addicts. I mean, there's just human waste all over the ground. People in like drugs seized, like you know they're like falling over themselves and weird twisted all over the place. Lines up of people living out of vehicles. And these are major, you know, cities in the U.S. that were on. Remember, Portland was like an up and up. Yeah. We're in Nashville.
Just a weird art.
Very kind of. It was kind of like being compared to art, you know, eccentric music and art. And you had a lot of new people out there and businesses out there and thinking this is a kind of new place in the West to go. And it's ruined. It's going to take. I hope it comes back. I want it to come back. But they don't even acknowledge that. Like Fred said, they don't even acknowledge like all of the burning of the cities. The fact that Minneapolis has not recovered.
Yeah.
They don't. Again, they don't even talk about that as like it happens.
Your politicians almost ignore it. You have Newsom out there still like pretending everything is great in California when everyone you know in California has left. And everyone in California, if they haven't left, there are people like Rick who are over there doing desperately trying to save what happened to this state. Because again, like you said, it's not about abandoning ship, but a lot of people have, just for the safety of their families.
Yep.
And you hear these stories, you're right, there are these cities who are already strange, eccentric, fun, whether that was San Francisco or whether that was Portland or any of these, even parts of Los Angeles. But you hear about it getting overrun. And honestly, as we've said before, too, the big concern is as stuff happens out west, it moves east. And stuff starts to permeate because everyone has to try to, because it's such a big populace, it affects everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like Eric Adams saying, well, I mean, you know, only six people got hurt on the subway and millions of people used it. But it's the idea is like, if six people are getting pushed into the subway a day, or six people getting their throat slashed, and this can't be normal. Yeah. In a city like New York,
and how
it's
many
got
people,
to overperform.
And how many people then decide, well, I'm not going to ride the subway.
Right, you know, like, how does New York doesn't work?
Right, then there's a big rollout and there's a big problem. Give us a call. We're going to be taking some more calls.
Yeah, Nancy Pelosi telling you that you don't care about the economy. Yeah, you don't care about inflation. Voters just care about killing babies. That's all they care about. Yeah. We'll come back with that.
Yeah, give us a call, 1-800-684-3110.
Welcome back to Seculo. You get a little taste. If you never tune in to Seculo Brothers podcast, it's maybe not as intense as we are at noon Eastern time.
We've had lunch.
And you've had lunch, and you've kind of... I started my day... See, this would be more like Seculo Brothers podcast. I was at chapel at my daughter's school. She did great. It was the kindergarten chapel, and they performed, and that was awesome. And mom and dad were there, then... His dad, who's Jay Sekulow, is if you're still trying to figure that out, because
are
they related? How are you related? Are you brothers? Are you brothers to him? Are you brothers?
Who are these brothers?
Yeah,
what
are they? Just Jay Sekulow's brothers who just are around?
No, yeah. To clarify, we do a podcast because people said during the Sekulow Brothers podcast, their comments saying, "Who are the? Where is Jay with the other brother?" Right, and it's like, no, we are his sons, which makes us look. Feel very old, by the way. He is 30 years older than us.
It's not happening as much, but when I was younger, all the time people thought, they were like, well, you know, you're his brother. Now it's a little bit different, but now I'm hitting a different age. It might start happening again.
Yeah, we both are looking like we've lived hard. No. We got to hear about Pelosi.
Yeah, so this is another absurd one. Then we'll get to Stacey Abrams, hopefully in the next segment. And we are taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110, on any of this. This is politics. This is a few weeks out. I will tell you, this is an example of the gaslighting, too. I tweeted out, it was actually Rick Grinnell's tweet, because he told us on air he was going to be with Mike Lee out in Utah. And I really like Mike Lee. I've said this, we did the impeachment trial. Right in front of us was Mike Lee, Senator Kennedy, and Senator Paul. So it was a fun group to have right in front of you because even though they couldn't talk, you know, you get to interact. And these were the guys who were like with us from the beginning. Like when they got to Washington, they weren't afraid of ACLJ or like being on the same stage.
Right.
They wanted to be on the same stage. So we can't lose guys like this. But Rick retweeted my tweet. Oh, the hate. And it's all the January 6th stuff.
Yeah, that's what Twitter is at this
point. So, you know, Strzok is biting it. But this is Nancy Pelosi. You got to listen closely with her because another feeble leader. On the Democrat side, and again, but she's a lot more with it than Joe Biden. She's playing you here. Take a listen.
After the Supreme Court ruling, there was huge outrage. That has seemed to subside, at least among overriding concerns. Despite all the legislative accomplishments, and I want to cite them, I want to, you know, say it's been an extraordinary session. You and the president have done so much in terms of domestic concerns, the economy. So why is this message, why do you think the president has gotten this message through the voters?
Well, first of all, let me say that I think that much of what you've said, I don't agree with. That is to say, the New York Times poll, I think, is an outlier poll. You cite one poll, but all the other polls.
It's also the Real Clear Politics average is showing similar issues.
No, but that was one that brought down the average, and it was an outlier. It wasn't even that big a sample. So I dismiss that.
It's just lying. Every poll shows economy or inflation or both as the number one issue. Abortion does track now. So you could be honest and say, well, you know, people do care about it. It is tracking. Yeah. But it's down at like number four and five in most polls. And she's now, this is where they've gotten to learn. Now the New York Times polls are wrong. Now, yeah. Real Clear Politics, which is a poll of polls, which I tell you, polling is not great anymore, no. But trend polling is good. And trend polling shows you is just where people move and what are they paying attention to. 2 months ago, there were a lot of more people caring about abortion. That's what Andrea Mitchell's saying. I don't think she was.
She was more saying that the news had peaked and it had gone down.
Yeah, and then Joe Biden tried to bring it back up with his really weird Roe versus Wade rally yesterday, which we already played how bizarre that got, and he got confused that it wasn't a same-sex marriage event, which was very bizarre because he started thanking people for that. He got Obergefell confused with Dobbs. This is confused. But he's got giant Roe versus Wade sign, Roe signs behind him, and he can't figure it out.
We got that clip. Let's bite 40. Here's Joe Biden.
The right that I pushed hard and it finally got changed, the married couples in the privacy of their bedroom, I'm thinking about the Dobbs decision.
First of all, that's not even Obergefell. That's not wrong. The marriage case. This is going back to the Texas case back in, I think, 2006. So we're talking about the Bush years. And this was about, you know, the sodomy laws. I'll just say it like that. It was basically those being struck off the books, which then ultimately led to, which was a very different case than Obergefell. But again, I think even on the right, people have kind of accepted this and moved on.
Yeah, this is just another example, honestly, of just someone who doesn't know what's happening around them.
He does. Again, I don't like.
You don't want to be mean. You don't want to be someone who. I don't like that we just jump to rhetoric saying those kind of things.
But he shows over time and time again the ice cream.
Well, someone brought up in our production meeting that's like when George W. Bush would make a stumble, it was every news outlet covered.
So they deserve it.
A stumble. And a stumble for George W. Bush was saying a word wrong.
Off the teleprompter wrong.
Off a teleprompter.
And he usually corrects it.
Yeah. Or just being a little silly.
And he would laugh if he did it. Yeah. He'd catch himself. This guy does not know what's going on. I mean, he really doesn't. And more they're putting out, well, Jill Biden's stepping in and other people are stepping in to help. This again, he's not on the ballot, but his policies are. And his policies have cost us all a lot more money. And Nancy Pelosi's saying, no one cares about inflation in the economy. Let's prove her wrong.
Doesn't that usually happen, though? Though Joe Biden's not on the ballot, he technically is. You always have the referendum. If there is a president, or typically you do, a president that things are not going well, so therefore their party suffers the consequences.
This is what I want. I want to make Joe Manchin irrelevant. I want Joe Biden to have to come to the table with the Republicans. And you know what? I'm glad there's a lot more unity, if you've noticed this, that from the Kevin McCarthy's to the Marjorie Taylor Greens are coming together. We realize we have a bigger problem than just, oh, that rhetoric's too much for me, or this, you know, statement. We can unite. We're the big tent party now. I think that's fair to say. Look at Tulsi Gabbard. Not just leaving the Democrat Party, but embracing our candidates. And some of our candidates who are taking the most heat just because they talk the way we talk. You know, this is what the Democrats can't stand, is that Republican grassroots are now the Republican elected officials. And that doesn't mean they're not highly educated. That doesn't mean they're highly accomplished. But they're not just the politician that would usually make it up through the process anymore. And that has got them frightened. They are scared like Peter Strzok. I think they really are scared. But they're scared because their Washington they're used to may be gone forever. Under Trump, we were pretty close to draining the swamp, redoing Washington to where it would never be the same for them again. And they're swamp creatures.
It still feels like that.
I think we're on the, we have to keep it up.
Let's also hear, you know, Pelosi talks about inflation and kind of has to have a deflection in it. Here's how she gets out of the question of, well, what about inflation? Isn't that important?
Of course we want to fight inflation. It's a global issue. But some of the inflation in our country sprang from the fact that this president created nearly 10 million jobs, at least 9 million jobs, working with the private sector. The private sector creates a lot of that.
So you create more jobs, there's more inflation.
That's the opposite of more jobs.
Right.
If people have more jobs and more resources to spend, then the prices of things go down because everybody's buying them.
You know,
everybody wants to go on a vacation. So guess what? Airline tickets aren't as expensive because there's more people flying. There's more demand. At this time, what we have is we don't have the supply. We don't even and people that are getting jobs, it's still below their pay is not going along with the inflation. So they're in the hole 3% at least right now. If you're an hourly wage earner. So you're already down, even if you're taking one of these jobs. It's gaslighting, and it is. I think they're really. It's not so much trying to convince us. They're trying to convince their own people to come out and vote right now.
Maybe even because convince themselves.
A lot of these independent voters, we talk about the white women voters, suburban mom voter, that's who she's trying to convince was to still vote Democrat. And people are smarter than that. I think they're seeing past. First of all, these people are too old. It's time for, the rhetoric. We can all Google things and find out what's fact and fiction.
You hope people do, though. There are people who just don't. They just listen to.
Not usually as many in the midterms.
Yeah.
But they're hoping they can get some of those groups out. Let's go to Sheila in California online, too. We come back, by the way, next segment, Stacey Abrams. Just killing babies is more important than your gas. All right. Hey, Sheila.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. This is a comment and a question. All this nonsense, Peter, actually comparing 9/11 to January 6th, and then Nancy Pelosi denouncing every possible poll, questioning sample sizes, inflation, everything. This time around, with this much nonsense, I can't even remember seeing this much nonsense. I just want a true assessment from the ACLJ. Do you really think in your heart of hearts, in your opinions, will this help the red vote, the Republicans, this time around?
I think if they are flailing to this point where Nancy Pelosi is having to come on to Andrea Mitchell to disagree with MSNBC and say New York Times polls are wrong, Real Clear Politics, Polo Polls, which is a conglomeration of all the polls, you don't have to even have a poll to know that people care about the economy as the number one issue right now. Inflation's freaking people out. It doesn't take, I don't need a poll. Just walk around, go from state to state, city to city. These places are doing the best. You go into your wealthiest areas, go to your poorest areas, go to the middle class areas. People are concerned. So I do think when they're flailing like this, it's a good sign. We need to, again, you put your foot on the gas pedal, you keep the foot down. Okay, it's 20 days. Hit. Every time you can point their out, their absurdity, their insanity, their craziness, point it out. We can take back the power. 1-800-684-3110. We've got more coming up. Maybe there's more.
That's right. One more segment.
And then Stacey Abrams.
Yep. You're not going to miss it. We'll be right back.
Election denier Stacey Abrams, which, by the way, she's not being investigated by the FBI for denying the election or being told that she can't be a candidate for office. No one's trying to impeach her. Of course, you can't be impeached if you don't win anything. But we did see that they tried to impeach you even after you're president, like President Trump. So could we? I don't think we have to spend the time at the state level to impeach Stacey Abrams in Georgia. And I think Kemp is going to beat her if people show up. Remember how close that election was.
Saying record turnout for early.
And that could go either way.
Yeah, you don't know.
Usually, it's not great for us.
No,
but that means you've got to then record turnout on election day. And we know Kemp in the polls is up higher. He was last time too, and it was a very close race. Stacey Abrams has a machine, so I'm not discrediting her political abilities to try and flip a state. It's certainly she's struggling more, but and this again, it points to like Nancy Pelosi. They start saying things that are just way off. Not even just liberal talking points, just kind of just insane if you actually pay attention to the words they're using. Take a listen.
Having children is why you're worried about your price for gas. It's why you're concerned about how much food costs. For women, this is not a reductive issue. You can't divorce being forced to carry an unwanted pregnancy from the economic realities of having a child.
Okay. I don't think that Stacey Abrams is a mom. Yeah. We have kids. Yeah. I'm not women, but we do have kids. This idea that the gas prices is because you got to have, if you have a kid, you got to take him to school or something. I mean, school is probably not the furthest place away you go. It's probably not as far as your workplace. It might be about the same, but also we have like public schools, they have buses. I mean, this is what they say. Don't burden me with a child because that's why we have bad inflation. It's just not true. We have bad inflation because we have bad policies in place. It has not to do with abortion. It has not to do with Roe versus Wade. Either way, however the court decided on Dobbs would not have affected Logan if inflation. They could have upheld Roe, it would have, and we could still have bad inflation today.
So they figured out a way to kind of caveat it and create another answer. And look, you're talking about school buses. Vice President Harris has a solution to your school bus issues.
I have a particular fondness, I must tell you, for electric school buses. I love electric school buses.
Where do you get one of those?
I don't even know. Does anywhere have electric school buses?
Probably in Portland. Like you drive by like the crackhead and everybody.
We do know. Hopefully it doesn't rain because on the street. There's a problem. They'll explode. But if
that's
not,
true. Now we know in places like
hurricanes or just keep them covered.
This is why I keep going back to Elon Musk, who makes money off selling electric vehicles. And he said, we cannot go to this nationally. Right now it's a niche thing. We're just figuring it out.
Yeah. Early adopters.
Yeah. It's people who go to like tech early, you know, like you.
Yeah, I love the idea.
But you haven't gone electric.
I have a pre-order.
You're trying to, but because of Biden's bad policies,
I can't spend my money on a car.
Well, that is wild. You still can't.
No.
I was looking at a truck, and like, you can't get this truck. And like, I can be on a waiting list for like 8 months. They're like, you can get this truck next summer.
What do you have right now? That's what I'll take? Thank you.
I'll just keep my car.
That's what I did.
You have to. That's a lot of times you have to.
So, all right, well, we do have some lines open. If you want to call in, this is last second call in, and also, you know, harass our phone screener. It's his last day. So 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. It is an interesting time because, like you said, how do you take a comment like what came out of Stacey Abrams and what comes out of these people that are taking other things that are happening in politics, so whether that's inflation or gas prices and all that, but somehow tying it into social issues, tying it into life.
Because they talk about abortion like we're living in 1920s or even maybe the 50s. We have birth control. It's been out for a long time. It works. Like, you don't have to ever get pregnant. Really. I mean, you don't. And so this idea that you'll be burdened and it's the men and they're trying to keep women down and they don't want women to go to work. Women are some of the most powerful people in the world now. There's prime ministers. We have vice president. I don't think anybody would mind if somebody was president. I don't think that right or left care. Like, it doesn't matter. You can be CEOs of the companies. That's wonderful. I have two daughters. I'm glad about that.
Speaker of the House.
Yeah, right. But they talk about like it's still 1950s. Like there's no birth control. And it's just men going around impregnating everybody. And you got no other option. That's not reality. And it hasn't been reality for her entire life. Yeah. My entire life. Your entire life. Most people that are alive today were not alive during a time where there was no birth control.
Yeah. And look, it's not just Stacey Abrams. AOC
and this mainstream
just,
too.
AOC just a couple weeks ago kind of doubled down. So this is what happens: is these narratives start, then they all start using them.
Yeah,
remember it became that even the fetal heartbeat was not really a heartbeat from Stacey Abrams a few weeks ago. That started with like another story that then gets in their cycle, and all of a sudden they just keep talking about it. So let's hear on number 45. This is AOC.
You know, I think it's important to state that. That abortion is an economic issue. Forcing poor and working class people to give birth against their will, against their consent, against their ability to provide for themselves or a child is a profound economic issue. And it's certainly a way to keep a workforce basically conscripted.
I know they love a good communist state where you have conscripted forced labor. And I'm not talking about giving birth, but forced labor, like forced work camps. But that doesn't even make sense. And so this is where it starts, you know, it starts with AOC, is that you have to keep your job, you keep your workforce, tying it all into that. A lot of people, if you're having children, you would be leaving for some period of time, not conscripted into work. And most workplaces now, if you're in that corporate world, if you're a career person, you have pretty good weeks or months off. I mean, we're not Europe, but we've made a lot of changes to try and accommodate women who want to have children and return to work.
Like, we do have a call coming in. It's not related to that. We have a couple minutes here, but it is related to the crime in some of these cities.
Yeah, what it's like in these cities.
Let's take it real quick. Let's go to Linda on line one, and then we'll wrap up. Linda, hi, you're on the air.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. I'm about 20 minutes from downtown Minneapolis. I will not go down there anymore. I have friends that have been carjacked in the middle of the day, children in the car. Nobody cares about this stuff. All the ads from Governor Walz, all those is about abortion. And I'm not for abortion. But what about the people getting killed, the little kids sitting in cars, all that stuff downtown, the Minneapolis City Council doing nothing about it, nothing. The police are quitting. Nobody wants to go down there.
Yeah.
I mean, what's this all about? I mean, are these people blind?
they've just bought into the politics, defund the police. You see what happened in Minneapolis. I mean, you've seen. You're 20 minutes outside the city. I mean, most places we consider you living in Minneapolis, right. Barely suburban.
Yeah.
And the fact that you say, area. And this was a city that hosted I remember the Republican convention. It was Minneapolis, St. Paul is great.
I hung out in Minneapolis, St. Paul. I've never thought about it.
As like this being a dangerous place to be. And I get that there were, again, you can always say anything. What happened to George Floyd was horrible. Okay. And protest from that, understandable. They get a little out of hand. Understandable. Why to this day are they still boarded up in those streets? Because the police got kicked out. Like she said, the police wouldn't come back. And when there is no police and no security, you can't have a business. And guess whose neighborhood's that affected the most? Not hers. She's out in the suburbs.
Yep.
It's affected black businesses, black communities. George Floyd's neighborhood and the businesses there are all closed still. I saw them do it. It was like on MSNBC or one of them. They were doing a tour of what it looked like there now. It's just all boarded up. It's sad. Left or right, it should just be something we want to fix as Americans. Support the work of the ACLJ. Get out and vote. Go to ACLJ.org. If you can support our work financially, that would be great. ACLJ.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.